Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. We're going to read this passage in unison together this morning. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to read Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse number 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13, we'll read verses 1 through 3 together. We're going to read all three verses in unison together. Ready? Here we go. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you through these thousands of years, it's still a living, breathing book. Thank you that it has transcended all generations and is still applicable today. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Allow this living book to change our lives so that we could live more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
There are probably two reasons that we come to church. We come to get something, and if we are attentive and obedient to God, we come to give something. Now, somebody here today, you came for only one of those reasons. You came to get, and I think you will receive. If you came to receive something, you're going to receive. But I hope we all can mature to the point that we can come for both reasons. Wasn't long ago, after a men's prayer meeting, one of our men had said to me, he said, you know something? He said, when I'm in the men's prayer meeting, I just don't feel like I've ever met a group of men that love each other like the men in our church love each other. What does that mean? That means at the men's prayer meeting, they came to get, but they also came to give. We come to church to get encouragement. But wait a minute. We also should come to church to give encouragement. We come to church to be blessed. But I think we ought to also come to church to be a blessing. We come to church to get courage. But I think we also ought to come to church to help someone else to get courage. We come to church to have our needs met. I think we should also come to church with the intent of trying to meet a need. We come to the church to get faith, but I think we ought to also come to church to help others that they might get faith. I think even God comes to church for both reasons. If God is in this place today, and I think he is, I think he came to church for two reasons. I think God is here today because he wants to give us something. But I also think that God came to church today to get something. God comes today to give you and I his love. But he also came to church today for you and I to give him our love. Here in Deuteronomy 6:5, we read it together a moment ago. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You and I are to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 13, and I'll read it to you again. If you're still turned there, you may look at it. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, the sign or the wonder cause come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Let me stop right there. All it said is a prophet or a self-appointed prophet, if you will. If some dreamer says to you, I seen a sign or a dream or I predicted something and that which I predicted came to pass, and somehow he wins the hearts of the people. But then he comes along after having won the hearts of the people with this occurrence and says, let's go follow another God. You're supposed to say, I'm not going to follow another God. I don't care what you predicted that came true. I'm going to stay true to my God. But it goes on in verse 3. Again, it says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In verse number 3 there, the Bible says, God knows if you love God. God knows if you love God. You know, we enjoy the thought that God loves us, and we should. This week, I did something that I've never done before. I had decided that I wanted to read every verse in the Bible that mentioned the word love in any form, whether it was lovest or loved. Loving. I want to read every verse in the Bible that used any part of the word love. I think, if I counted them right, there were 696 times the word love was used, and I read every one of them. I have to tell you, I think my favorite verse that I read, at least this week, it'll, you know, my favorite verse on love will change next week, I'm sure, but this week, my favorite verse that I read on love was found in 1 Kings 3:3, and this is all it said. It said, and Solomon loved the Lord. I have to tell you, as I read all the way through the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, 696 times I read the word love, I'm not sure that any other time did God give someone specific credit for loving God. Though many did. Many did. Through the years and through history and the prophets and good people and lay people and preachers and young and old. They love God, and I know that. But in that passage, it specifically said, and Solomon loved the Lord. And that's what I got to thinking. God chose that that be written in the Bible. That makes it Scripture. That's God's Word. God said of Solomon, he said, and Solomon loved the Lord. So God was willing to have it written eternally that Solomon loved the Lord. I wonder if God could put your name in there. Again, I have to tell you, I read all 696 times, and I think it was the only time that I seen specifically it saying that someone loved God in that way. Wonder, would God put your name in there? If God needed today, and there's no new revelation of Scripture, it's all signed, sealed, and delivered, it's a done deal. We have the Scripture, but if God chose, if God said, I want to put another insert in the Bible today, and I want to say of another person that this person loved me. Oh, what an honor. But would God use your name? And I stopped, and I thought, I wonder if God would allow my name in that slot. You know, when I remind you that God loves you, there's always amens, and we get excited about that. And I want us, to be reminded today that not only does God love us, God wants our love. Did you know, you could fool me about loving God, and I could fool you about loving God, but I can tell you somebody that none of us fool about loving God, and you can't fool God about loving God. There in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse number 3, it actually uses the words, and let me read them to you again. It says, and it says this, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God. He said, the Lord your God proveth you to know if you love the Lord your God. What's it mean? God said, I want to know if you love me. And God said, I know whether you love me. In other words, the great lover of our souls desires to be loved. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in the story in the New Testament. John chapter 21, Jesus and Peter are having an exchange of words, and Jesus says to Peter, lovest thou me, Peter? And then he's asked the question again, lovest thou me, Peter? And then he's asked the question again, lovest thou me, Peter? Let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Let me ask it again. Do you love God? Let me ask it again. Do you love God? You see, in that passage, in that story there in John 21, for some reason, Jesus kept asking, and you could go into any theological dissertation that you want to about it, but the thing that interested me about it is Jesus was concerned that Peter loved him. And I think today Jesus is concerned that you love him. And I think today that God is concerned that you love him. The Bible says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. Maybe a quotation, it is so close in its wording to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5, but God wants us to love him. The Bible says in Joshua 22:5, the Lord charged you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. The Bible says in Psalm 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. You say, how do I love God? Well, let me make sure I say something to you, and you hear me say things like this often. In John 14:15, the Bible says, if you love me, God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, sometimes, you know, you ask someone if they love God, and they say, oh, yes, I do. Well, let me explain something. Loving God is just not mouthing it. It's not just saying, yes, I do. There's got to be some proof in the pudding. And if you love God, Jesus said, I don't want you just to say, oh, yes, I love God. Though that's a good thing to say, and I think you ought to say that. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This week in my counseling, I had a moment with a husband and wife, and I reminded them of the importance of using the words, I love you, and then not only saying it, but expressing it in their care for one another and meeting one another's needs. Hey, and that's the same thing that God wants. If you love God, it's not just expressing it with words. You're to do something about it. Love is action. Love is movement. Hey, I believe there is work in love. Work in love. I spoke to a son this week about his parents. He said, I'm having a hard time getting along with my mom or my dad. And the question was, what am I going to do? I said, do you love them? He said, if you love them, you're going to express it. Tell them that you love them. And think about it. When was the last time you told your husband that you love him? When was the last time you told your wife that you loved her? When was the last time you told mom or dad or your son or your daughter? When was the last time you told them that you love them? That's important, but I've got to throw this in here. When was the last time you told God you loved him? When was the last time? God makes some promises to us. He said, now I want you to love me, and I expect you to love me. God knows if you love him. God knows that. But I see in the Bible that God actually even says, you know, I've got some things I can give you as a result of this love relationship that we share. Now, to me, it's almost too bad that God feels like he needs to give us something for us to love him or as a result of loving him. You know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there were no rewards at all for loving God if we would go ahead and love him anyway? But I think God knows of the frailty of the human race, and I think God said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll love me, there's some things that you'll enjoy in life. If you'll love me, there's some benefits. If you'll love me, there are some rewards. If you'll love me, there are some fringe benefits that are available to you if you'll love me. And again, let me tell you something. To me, it's too bad that God had to tell us about some, you know, some prizes that we get for loving him. But I'm glad God's willing to go ahead and do that. I am. I I believe it's like this. How many of you have ever had Cracker Jacks? Cracker Jacks, you know, if you're a kid, one of the best things about Cracker Jacks is the surprise in the bottom of the box. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could get a box of Cracker Jacks and rip the top off of it and pour the Cracker Jacks and the peanuts out and look for my prize. Well, let me, really now, I'm a little older now, and the tattoos don't mean near as much to me.
No, I think everybody ought to have one.
No, I don't. But I like the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks. You know, I can eat Cracker Jacks without the prize. Now, here's what God does for us. God said, if you love me, it's almost like Cracker Jacks. You're going to get what's inside that box, the container. You're going to get those Cracker Jacks and peanuts, and that's the relationship there that you have with God. But he said, I've also got a prize for you. But you know, we ought to get to the point, though God does not make us to, well, I wonder if there was no benefit in loving God. Would you still love him? Let me give you, I want to show you some things, maybe that some of the prizes at the bottom of the box when you love God. First of all, let me tell you something. If God tells us that if we'll love him, he has something special in regard to his mercy toward us that he'll express to us. Open your Bible for just a second. I want to look at a couple of verses. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to see the love of God and how God says to us, if you love me, I have something special for you. It's that prize at the bottom of the Cracker Jack box. And the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Look back at me, if you will. God said, he commands that we love him, but now he comes along and he says this, if you love me, let me show you a little surprise that's at the bottom of the Cracker Jack box. He said, I'm going to show you a special mercy in life. God gives a special mercy to those of us who will love him. Now, so you know, God shows all of us mercy. Look back at me, if you will, please. Some of you are still reading, and if I need you to look at me while I preach. God shows a special mercy to those that love him. He says, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Now let me tell you, God's expressed his mercy on us all. But here I think God is saying, when you love me, I have a little extra dose of mercy for you. What is mercy? Now, I've told you this, and that certain truths of the Bible, we just need to get used to them. Mercy is not the absence of punishment. Mercy is the presence of punishment, but is the presence of gentleness and kindness and decency during the punishment. Mercy is not punishment that's emotional or personal. Mercy is principled punishment. In other words, if you disobey, there's going to be a spanking, but I'll love you while I spank you. Moms and dads, there ought to be mercy and discipline. They're supposed to be disciplined. But there ought to be a tear in the eye and a broken heart for mom and dad when they do their disciplining. And God said, I'm going to spank you, but I'm going to love you all the time that I do it. And I love this about God. God said, if you'll love me when you do wrong, I'm going to have a special mercy on you. And when I must correct you, I'm going to love you while you're being corrected. What a wonderful, wonderful prize at the bottom of the package of love that we express for God. There's something else that God does for us. As he said, I want you to love me. And God said, I know if you love me. Now, I don't know if you love God, and you don't know if I love God, but God said in Deuteronomy 13:3, he said, I know I have my ways of proving whether you love me or not, and I know whether you love me or not. He said that if you will love me, I've got some wonderful things that I'll share with you because of it. First of all, that special mercy during the times when God must spank us. God loves us while he spanks us in a special way. Secondly, if we love God, I think he provides for us deliverance in life. Psalm 91:14, listen to this verse as I read it to you. Psalm 91:14 says, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Somebody that knows the name of God, God is saying that because someone loved me, that there's going to be a certain type of deliverance that God makes available in their life. God gives special deliverance to those who give him special love. You know something, that we all must face the attack of Satan. Be careful that you don't stop seeing things spiritually. It sure will help you on Monday if you realize some of the difficulties that come your way, they're coming from the devil. He's the one trying to slow you down. He's the one trying to derail you. He's the one that's attacking you. He's the one that's behind so many of the difficulties that we face. And as Satan comes at us and he attacks us, God said, if you'll love me, and if you'll love me right, I am going to bless you with a little extra deliverance in life. Now, I don't know about you, but I need all the deliverance I can get. I want all the deliverance I can get. Satan attacks me, but because I have a deep love for God, God said, I'm going to bless you with some extra energy for deliverance. I'm going to bless you with a little extra protection in life. Deliverance from the devil. Deliverance from the enemy's attack. Deliverance. Hey, even sometimes, I suppose, God is able to give us a certain amount of deliverance, even with our own self-inflicted messes. Now the devil, he gets on my case and he creates some messes for me, but every once in a while I create some messes for me. But if I can get my mind and my heart right, and if I love God, God said, I want to bless you with some extra deliverance. I think of the great man, the warrior of the Old Testament named David. Well, David had some messes that he had created in his life. I also like it that the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Sure, David, he fought some battles. David faced some very, very difficult struggles. David created some messes for himself, and the devil created some messes for David. But you see David often being delivered. You see David often winning victories. You say, why? I believe because David was a man after God's own heart. I think God loved David, and David loved God, and God wanted to love the way David wanted him to love, and God said, there's certain deliverance that I make available to you because of that. You know, there are some people in life I watch, and I've watched through the years, there are some people in life who get backslidden, and then they never come back to God. There are others who get backslidden, and they do come back to God. Can I tell you something about it? I think somehow you are more apt to come back to God if while you were with God, you were truly attempting to love God. Why? Because God, he enjoys that love. He wants that love. And I think a little bit that when you get backslidden, if you have sincerely for the years that you are trying to be close to God, if you are loving him, God throws a little deliverance in during the time that you're backslidden. He tries to bring you back. You say, why? Well, if he brings you back, he has a chance of getting your love again. But folks, let me tell you, if this thing is serving God, it's all routine to you and there's no heart in it for God, when you get backslidden, it may be difficult for you to get back, but if you truly love God and you get a bit backslidden, I think God can throw a little bit of deliverance in there and say, come on back. And you say, why? Because God wants you to come back so he can get some more love out of you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hope to God that I don't find myself backslidden and quitting the ministry and just giving up on God. I hope that never happens to me. But I also hope that if it does happen to me, and so you all know, it could happen to anyone. Men far better than I'll ever dream of being have left God. But if it ever happened to me, I hope that somehow, right now, while I'm right with God to the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, I hope that I am earning some future deliverance so that when I do get away, God will say, I want him back. And I think God wants us all back, but I'd really like it if God say, I'd really like to have him back. I always somehow that if I got away from God, God would say, I remember those days that Jeff Owens and I spent together. I remember the nights that he prayed and poured his heart out. I remember the connection that we had, and he loved me, and it was so precious. My heart, God says, is so broken that he's away. So I'm going to put some extra energy into bringing him back. I promised him if he had loved me that I'd give him a little extra deliverance. And folks, I'm telling you, look, love God right now. Love him right now. It may have something to do with whether you'll practice loving him again in the future. Because he says to us, he's going to give us some. He said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I like that. I like that. Loving God now is good for you now, but loving God now may help you with some deliverance later. God said, I want you to love me, and I know whether you love me or not. And God comes along and said, I'm going to give you that little prize at the bottom of the Cracker Jack box. Now, you get the Cracker Jacks, you get the privilege of loving the God of the universe, and he loves you back with a little prize. What is it? Well, there's a special mercy that God can make available to us. There's a deliverance that God can make available to us. And then thirdly, the Bible says that if we love God, he can show certain honor to us. I don't know how that honor works. It's mentioned in Psalm 91. I don't know exactly how that honor works. I know this. Maybe that honor is God looking down from heaven and saying, that's one of my kids right there, and they love me. Could you imagine? I know this. When I told you earlier, I'd seen the passage of Scripture from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 3, where the Bible says, and Solomon loved God. And Solomon loved God. Do you know that means that from heaven, when God had the Word of God penned on earth, it always has been in heaven, but when God had it penned on earth, and he promised to do that for all generations, I tell you this, that means that God transferred from heaven, and he told them, that the people up in heaven, I think, heard God say, Solomon loves me. Solomon loves me. Can you imagine all the people in heaven hearing God say of you, see that lady right there? She loves me. Remember, God knows if you love him. Would God step up to the banister of heaven, look over, and say of you, that man right there, he loves me. That teenager right there loves me. Wouldn't it be something for all of heaven to hear God give you the compliment that God believes that J.V. Elswick loves God? Wow. Wow. What an incredible compliment. The Bible says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him and set him on high. God said, I'm going to honor you. There's some sort of an exaltation that God allows us because we love him. Maybe that exaltation is happening now in heaven as God points down and says, there's a human being down there. Though they're frail, they're doing their best to love me. Maybe that honor, hey, maybe it is. You know, I'll tell you something. Maybe the honor is from heaven, but maybe it's down here. Wouldn't it be something if somebody in the church felt like you were known for loving? Maybe even the heathen world. Do any of us have the reputation of love? I'm not talking about the world's wicked lust. I'm talking about the love of God. Wouldn't it be something if we had somehow developed a reputation and people said, that man right there loves God? Would anybody say of you, teenager, that teenager right there loves God? There are some that obviously do not. Wouldn't it be something if there were some that obviously did? You say, well, when I'm an adult, you don't wait until you're an adult to be right with God. Your best bet of being right with God as an adult is that you be right with God as a teenager. Wouldn't it be something if we were given the honor of a reputation while we're here on earth of loving God? Ma'am, would anybody, is there a lady here that anybody would say of you, she loves God? It is amazingly obvious. Most of the time it's, oh, she serves the Lord and they come to church. But God said, I'll set them on high. God said, there's a bit of an exaltation that I'll give you. Maybe that exaltation is God looking down from heaven like he did of Solomon and said, Solomon loves me. Maybe it is among the brethren where God's people would actually compliment one of the brothers and saying, that person, they love God. Maybe even the heathen would look. You know something? I'm going to guess that the old world out there, they don't understand much about our church. They really don't. They don't understand holy living. They don't understand why we believe in being different than the world and we're a peculiar people. They're more apt to criticize that. They don't understand it at all. But I'll tell you something. You, the lost people, are going to have a hard time arguing about the love of God that's around here. Wouldn't it be nice? No, they'll criticize us and, you know, they're straight-laced and they're old-fashioned and this, that, and the other. You know all the criticisms. You even practice some of them, so you already know them. But, wouldn't it be something if out there they would say, I'll tell you this, they may be old-fashioned, but they love people. I think that would be a bit of exaltation. I think that would be a bit of honor. Maybe the honor is as God looks down, heaven hears that God points out your love for him. Maybe that exaltation or that honor is when we among the brethren are able to say of one another that person loves God. Maybe that honor or exaltation is a lost world that identifies us with the love of God, and they should. Maybe that honor will be in heaven someday. I don't know. There will be rewards given in heaven. Maybe the honor is just the fact that God is able within himself to say, like he did of Solomon, if nobody heard it, Solomon loves me. The thought that God could say of you, she loves me. Hey, wonder if nobody heard it. Wonder if your name wasn't printed anywhere. None of the brethren said it. None of the lost said it. Wonder if God didn't say it out loud in heaven. But wonder if God, in God's heart, was able to say, she loves me. That's pretty good honor, I'd say, for a human being to even be thought of God. And so, what are some of these prizes at the bottom of the Cracker Jack box? I mean, we get the Cracker Jacks. We get to love God. What an honor that a frail, sinful human being could experience loving the God of the universe. But God said, I'll give you some mercy. I've got extra deliverance for you. I'm going to give you some exaltation. And then he said this. He said, I have my way of helping your life to be a longer life because of the way you love me. Again, in Psalm 91, verse 14, 15, and 16, I read it to you a minute ago. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. Who? Well, you go back to verse 14. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, with long life will I satisfy him. God says here, I have my way of lengthening your life because you love me. I think that loving God gives God a reason to let us stick around a little longer. You say, well, why so? Well, I think one of the big reasons God would want you or I to stick around on this earth a little longer, and especially if we love him, is because he would like us to teach others to love him. Let me ask you this question. If you wanted more days added to your life, would God have a reasonable reason to do it based on how many people are learning to love God from you? You know, the Christian life and the theme of the Christian life is still the love of God. It is still the love of God. I think that God, I think God wants you and I, by way of example, to love him. And I think if you say, Brother Owens, I'd like to have long life. There are a lot of things you can do to get a longer life. I think if you eat right, it will help you. But I know some healthy people that died in airplane crashes. Say, well, if I did this or I did that, will it help me? I think you ought to exercise. But there are some very, very healthy, as far as bodily, physically capable people that have died. Now, there's something spiritual to the length of your life as well. And I can't give you every element that will give length to your life, but the Bible says, with long life will I satisfy him. And I think God is saying, hey, you want to take a good vitamin? Take the vitamin of loving me and I can increase your years. I can give you a long life. And I think one of the reasons for that is I think that God wants you to love him for a long time. And God wants you to teach others to love him. You know, I had a next door neighbor lived right next to me growing up. His name was Al Halcomb. Al Halcomb, I grew up in central Indiana. Now, Al Halcomb came up to central Indiana from Kentucky. And Al, right all the way down, we had our properties just butted up against each other. There was a fence there. And all the way down one side of Al's backyard, there were kennels for his dogs. And I'm not talking about store-bought kennels, and I'm not talking about professionally built kennels. I'm talking about scrap wood, scrap fencing kennels for his dogs. They were blue tick. They were hunting dogs. And old Al was a coon hunter, and old Al he trapped muskrat. Anybody in here ever do any trapping? Trapping's almost a thing of the past, but he was a trapper. And he had 6 or 7 dogs. My dad hated them. 2 o'clock in the morning. Then the bass section would kick in. You know how they were. My dad would go out and grab the garden hose and spray all those kennels. And when he thought he'd shut one up and all 6 of them were singing in the rain. But old Al, he had a dog he named Zeb. I think it's spelled Z-E-B. You have to look in the Lamb's Book of Life to get that right. Old Zeb. Zeb was mean. Now, Al had some older dogs. Zeb was an older dog, and Zeb was mean. Al didn't like Zeb, I don't think, and I don't think Zeb liked Al. I remember Zeb got sick, and Al's boy name was Teddy. Teddy came over and said, "Zeb's sick." And I noticed that Zeb was just laying in the kennel, and Zeb was it basically died. I didn't see Al, I didn't see Teddy, I didn't see any of the Halcombs, and there were Halcombs everywhere. They didn't go out there, they didn't comfort that dog, they didn't help that dog. They didn't really get real close because that dog seemed to be mean, but that dog died. God bless Zeb. They had another dog. I don't know where they got all their names. Now, this isn't such a bad name, but it was a female dog they called Sally. Sally. And old Sally got sick. Now, Sally and Al, they got along well. I mean, Sally, every time it was time for Zeb to go hunting, Zeb was fit to be tied, mean. Sally would give Al a big kiss. I mean, she's jumping in the back of that pickup truck, and Al would jump to the back of that pickup truck, and that old dog was licking her all over the place. And I mean, Sally licked Al, and Al licked back. I mean, they got along real well. And the kids played with Sally. Now, Sally was one of the older dogs, too. And, Sally, she got sick. And the dogs only live so long. And these dogs were about the same age. Zeb had died, and it wasn't long till Sally was going to die. And I noticed how they took care of Sally. They took care of her. They nursed her along. They almost had the opinion that, well, Zeb wasn't worth anything, can't hunt anymore, just old, and Zeb was mean anyway. They let Zeb die. Now, Sally, they nursed her along. Didn't care whether she could hunt anymore. I mean, they were out there, you just like a bunch of nurses and hot water and towels and wiping Sally's brow and forehead and, you know, bringing her extra food and petting on her. They tried to keep her as long as they possibly could, tried to keep her alive. You say, why? Because Sally was a loving dog. Now, if old Al Halcomb has enough good sense to love that loving dog like he did, and try to extend his life. Don't you think God, if you love on God and you're the kind of person that's affectionate with God, don't you think God would like to keep you around as long as he could? And the Bible said, God said, if you love me, I'm going to give you a little extra attention in regard to the longevity maybe of your life. Speaking of long life, a couple elderly gentlemen from a retirement center were sitting on a bench under a tree when one of them turns to the other and says, "Slim, I'm 83 year old now and I'm just full of aches and pains. And I know you're about my age. Slim, how do you feel?" Slim says, "Well, I feel like a newborn baby." He said, really? Like a newborn baby? He said, yep. No hair, no teeth, and I think I just wet myself. That's what long life will do to you. God said, I want you to love me, and I'm going to give you that prize at the bottom of the package, and I'm going to show you some mercy and some deliverance and some exaltation and maybe a little longer life. God said, I'll preserve you. Take your Bible very quickly and turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, we're going to look at verse number 23. Psalm 31, 23. Psalm 31, 23, the Bible says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Here God said he wants to preserve, but he starts out saying, O love the Lord. I think God tries to preserve those that love him. Now, just so you know, in regard to your salvation, that's totally preserved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You never lose that. But I think God gives a special preservation. He wants to make that love. It's like the length of life, but I think there's more to it than just the length of your physical life now. I think there's more to it here. I think he's preserving. I think if we'll love God, he has a way of preserving our influence. I think if we love God, he has a way of preserving our relationships of life and preserving our marriages. I believe this. If you're a businessman, I'll make you a little promise that I think God will back me up on. If you will love God, God will try to preserve your business. Love God because he'll preserve the holiness of your mind and your Christianity and your testimony. If you want your ministry and if you want the good things of life to last, love God because God said, I want to preserve those that love me. Let me show you something else. I think if we love God, he'll give us some joy that is special joy. Let me read to you from Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. It says, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Three times it uses the word joy or a form of it. It says rejoice, joy, and joyful. And it says, let them that love thee. He's saying, if you love me, there's a certain joy that's made available to you. God gives a special joy to those to whom, from those who he receives love. And then I want you to remember something. It's not a big issue. There's a difference in joy and happiness. The word happiness, it comes from the word happenings. We're only happy when something happens that's good to us. Joy, though, is a quality that we can experience all the time. Even when hard times come, we can have a certain joy. Joy comes from the inside. It's a quality that God makes available to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Happiness comes from the outside, and that means somebody else has a certain amount of control over it. But our joy is controlled by our God. If you love God, God said, if you'll love me, I have a way of inserting joy on the inside that can't be stolen from the outside. See, some of us, we have to have a certain happening for us to smile. We have to have certain happenings in life for us to keep on going and to have hope and to feel positive about life. But wait a minute. If you have the love of God, God can put on the inside of you a thing called joy so that even if it looks bleak on the outside, there's a hope and a happiness on the inside because the Holy Spirit of God has provided it. You say, how can I get that? Love God. He said, those that love me, he said, they're going to be the ones that rejoice and have joy and are joyful. Not only that, if we love God, he says, I'm going to let you know me in a special way. I'll read it to you, 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. God gives us a certain personal relationship that you have with him because of your love. Let's face it. He loves us and he holds back nothing. We're the ones that hold back. But if we love God, we get to experience this special relationship with God. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, and this is a perfect time to talk about it again. May Burris sits down here with our family some time ago, many, many months ago, a couple years ago, her husband, Skippy, was sick in the hospital out here at City Hospital, and he was passing away. We knew it. We knew that Skippy was passing away. I'd gone out of the hospital and sat with Skippy on more than one occasion. The night before Skippy passed away, he and I were sitting there. We were alone in the room. Skippy told me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm worried about May. I'm worried about May. He said, what's going to happen to May? And I said, Skippy, I'll make you a promise. I'll promise you that if the Lord takes you, that we'll kind of take May in and we'll love her and we'll become like a family to her. And we've tried to do that. She's known as Mama May in our family. Skippy did pass away. He looks down from heaven today and know that I've tried to keep that promise to him. May's picture is hanging with our family pictures at our house because she's Mama May to us. There's a special relationship that we have with May. We took her out. It was her 29th birthday this week, and Jeff and Savannah and Mrs. Owens and I, we took May out and bought her a meal. The woman talked and talked and talked and talked until the food came. She didn't say a word for almost 25 minutes. I mean, you could hear the volume of, you could hear the volume of the restaurant drop when May stopped talking and started eating. And I'm not talking about she ate loud. I'm talking about she talked loud until it was time to eat, and then she ate. When she was done, couldn't shut her up. She'd talk and eat. Hey, let me ask you a question. See, we've got a bit of a special relationship, and it's an adopted relationship. And I am a bit of an adopted child of God. But I have she and I, we wouldn't have to exchange the love that we exchange between one another, but we do, so we have a special and we have a close relationship. Her picture hangs with the pictures at our house as a part of our family. Let me ask you, do you think that God hangs your picture with His family pictures in heaven? You say, well, I know God loves me. God loves everybody. But you have a love relationship with God that's a close, intimate relationship. I think God even promises us some very, what we might even call unimaginable surprises in life. 1 Corinthians 2:9, and you've heard me preach this verse many times. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I think because we love Him, God has a few surprises for us along the way. God gives some wonderful spiritual surprises. Now, some of those surprises will be in heaven. Some of you will remember one Sunday I preached a sermon from this pulpit called I Have Not Seen Nor Ear Heard Nor Entered Into the Hearts of Man, and I described heaven. I talked about the food and the taste of heaven and the colors of heaven and the smells of heaven, the feeling of heaven. We talked about it for 45 minutes, a description that didn't even come close to describing the amazing, amazing place called heaven. Now, I believe those of us that love Him, I think there are a lot of special things in heaven, but I wonder if God does not also insert some wonderful things for us in this life. Hey, I think God can take the humdrum, boring part of what you might consider the Christian life and put some fantastic spiritual surprises into it. As silly as it may seem, my wife has been making a big deal about something for the last 12 or 14 hours. Yesterday, I got done with all my counseling, and we went out for a little while, and I took her to a dollar bill store. I'm last of the big spenders. Honey, get five of anything you want. I'm making 10. We're in there, and she'd been praying about something. I didn't know she'd been praying about it. There was something that she was looking for. You say, what? She wanted to get a big nose and big lips. Now, some of you already have those, so you don't have to pray for them, but that's what she wanted. She'd been looking for some props for a speech that she was going to do. She hadn't been able to find those props. Ms. Costa knows. We've been looking for them. We were researching and trying to find those. And my wife had just been praying about finding this big nose and big lips. So we're walking through this dollar bill store over down in Winchester, Virginia, and she's seen a big bow tie, and she said out loud, we're standing there in this aisle at the dollar bill store, and she sees this great big bow tie, and she said, I just wish they had a big nose. A lady that we didn't know from another part of the store said, it's over here. I'm thinking, I'm going to go high. And, you know, us men, we don't talk to strangers. There ain't a stranger alive to any woman. I mean, they've known each other forever. And so my wife said, where is it? And this woman, her daughter, and my wife are walking away to go look at noses and lips. And my wife told the lady, praise the Lord, I've been looking for this. You know something? And since then, this is what she said to me this morning. She said, honey, I just want to praise the Lord for that nose and lips. She might have told me that 10 times. On the 11th time, she said, you know what? I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God as many times as I ask Him to help me find those. That, you say, ah, that's little. That's awful big to her because she had been praying and asking God to help her find it. And you know something? I think sometimes when we love God, sometimes those little things that only God knows about, God steps in and says, you know what? You're going to have a wonderful heaven. I've got some wonderful things for you. But let me just show you what I can do. Let me take that smallest, the most minute request that you have, and I'm going to show you the benefit of loving me and expressing yourself to me. People who love God experience a few little special things along the way. And those of you that will stay conscious of that love, be watching for those little touches of love. When God said, let me pull you out, or let me show you this, and that's His expression of love. If you're here today and you're not saved, here's something sad. If you're not saved, if you die today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, the sad thing is, you can't give God love the way you're supposed to until you trust His Son as Savior. If you're not saved, you know, you say, this sounds good. It sounds good to love God. I'd like to get out. And I would love it if you felt that way. If you're here today and you say, well, I just stopped by to visit somebody and invited me. I didn't know what I was in for. Here you talk about this thing of loving God and all the things that He does for you. I'd like to get in on that. Now, you get in on it by way of His Son. You trust His Son as Savior, then God enables you to give God love. And as you look at it and you say, you know something, this whole thing of the love of God and the prize at the bottom of the box of Cracker Jacks, that interests me. Then let me recommend today that you get saved, because that will start you on the journey of loving the God that loves you. But if you're not saved, you know, you say, well, I'm going to try to love God. You can, but you're going to fail at it. You see, God is love. And until you get God inside you, and He comes inside you in the person of Jesus Christ, you cannot love right. To love right, you got to have God, because God is love. And if you've never trusted Him as Savior, you need to trust Him. He moves into you, and He virtually enables you to love the way you're supposed to love. So if you're not saved today, once you get saved, say, why? Well, you won't go to hell, but hey, listen, let me tell you something else. Not only will you not go to hell, but you can live your life loving God and realizing, like you should, the love of God. And boy, that's you know, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell, but after I got saved, I jumped into all the fringe benefits of this thing, and it is fantastic. It's not just a bailout package that'll keep you from burning. It's a bailout package that changes the whole economy of your emotions and the whole economy of your future and the whole economy of your relationships. It's not just a one-time fix of an eternal destination. It makes the journey fantastic. So today we invite you, if you're lost, to get saved so you can get in on more of the love of God. And if you're saved, I recommend to you that you love God, because God said, I know if you love me. And I'd like for God to be able to say of me and to be able to say of you, as He did of Solomon, and Solomon loved